Welcome back, everyone. Racecast. And we might be sounding a little bit subdued. It is the weekend. It's very hot. And the air is full of pollen. So we are both suffering immensely from hay fever. Hence the voices. But, you know, we're a little bit raspy, a little bit sniffly.
I was actually concerned on Friday that I wouldn't be able to do, as you can tell my voice, I actually pretty much had no voice on Friday.
All of this from some flowers, do you know what I mean? It's fucking pathetic. But if you are here, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other platform that we're available on, please make sure you give us a 5-star rating. It does make a lot of difference and it means a lot to us. Yeah, check us out on social media. Just search Racecast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We'll be there. Get involved. We love it when you do. We're going to crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. And as you can tell, yes, I am very horsey at the moment. Hay fever is killing me. I don't know, as we discussed last week, do you guys suffer from it? If you don't, you're lucky because it is horrible. I'm constantly tired. I'm constantly sniffling. My ears hurt. My sinuses are just like all over the place. But anyway, this is an F1 podcast, so welcome along. Luke, how have you been? Enjoying the sun?
Yeah.
Apart from the hay fever.
But it's nice. Hot weather. It's not nice to sleep in. Oh my God, it's... And then combine that with the hay fever. You're like hot, sweaty, itchy, sniffly. You can't breathe properly.
Talk about sleeping in hot weather. So a few weeks back, we went to go and get a new duvet, right? And it tells you there's some real people out there who are geeks about duvets. So this guy was like, well, what do you want? Do you want a tog like 24? Do you want a tog whatever?
You've got like
I was like, what's the thinnest one? Well, the issue is there's different types of thin ones because you can have the one with the feathers in, you can have it. I was like, look, mate, I don't know what is actually good here. Just give me the thinnest one possible. Well, do you want a tog like 7? I was like, I have no idea what is going on. Have you had a conversation about duvets before when you've gone out?
No, I wouldn't speak to someone about it. I'd just go and... Well, I just do it literally based on the tog level.
Well, no, that's what
I like a nice, big, like, heavy quilt.
What, even in the summer?
Yeah.
What?
It helps me sleep. I like sleeping with something on me. Which is actually a scientific thing. Like, humans sleep better with pressure. That's why, like, you wrap up a baby in blankets.
Well, so, like, if it's, like, 20 degrees at night, you still want something heavy on you.
To confirm, my bedroom was 27 degrees last night. We've got the thermostat in there that tells us the temperature in the room.
Yeah.
And it was 27 degrees.
And you prefer to have something heavy on you still when it's that hot?
Yeah. I mean, I have to shower immediately when I wake up because it's a little bit sweaty, but I just sleep better. Like, I can't really sleep without something on me.
Fair.
Like, I understand it's very, like, it's not ideal. It's not ideal for me either. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm lying there wrapped up like a sweaty taco, but just can't help it.
Let us know. Do you prefer sleeping with something heavy on you? But anyway, should we get into some F1 news? So, Jenson Button has said that Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen must leave F1 to be classed as one of the greats. What he means by this is where you look at Fernando Alonso, who's in the past has left F1. He's gone on to do... Was it NASCAR?
He did NASCAR, I think, yeah.
And then come back to the sport. So Jenson Button believes that to be classed as a true great, you need to leave the sport to go and do something else within motor racing. I don't agree with that. I think you can go down as one of the greats in your area. Obviously, theirs is F1. I don't think you need to go off and do something else to be classed as a great.
I also think that, like, F1 is the pinnacle of, like, four-wheel motorsport.
Yeah.
Like, that's the level that every driver aspires to be in. You could ask a driver in every single class, and I guarantee, like, their dream is likely to be in F1.
Yeah.
I know you've got different things like rally car driving and stuff, which is obviously very different, and some people probably purely aspire to do that. But if you offered them a seat in F1, I'm pretty sure they'd take it.
I think all the different motorsports are great. You know, you've got Le Mans, you've got NASCAR.
Which is on right now.
It is, yeah. You've got, yeah, NASCAR, I said rally driving. For me, you can be great in each one of those, and you, if you're successful in each one of those, then you can be classed as a great within motorsport. I think what Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen have done is enough for them to leave the sport now to be classed as a great. I don't think they need to go elsewhere to be classed as a...
Well, it's like Valentino Rossi. Like, okay, I know it was a motorbike, but no one was saying, oh, well, let's see if he can do it in a car. Like,
what, even Tour de France? Let's see if he can do it on a bike.
Yeah, like, people just assume, no, he's, like, he's a great, and he is. He didn't have to race elsewhere. No. Why is it different for F1 drivers? Like, because this, I swear this has only been, like, a recent thing where people are like, oh, yeah, well, maybe go and do it in IndyCar. It's like, since when's that been a thing? Like, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo never had to play in the championship to prove that he was, like, the best player in the world. Yeah. If anything, it's the other way in football. He's fucked off to Saudi Arabia and everyone thinks he's a bitch for it.
Yeah. But he's gone off to try something different.
If Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen left F1 to go and race stock cars, everyone would be like, what the hell?
I don't know. Let us know what you think. Do you think you need to go and do another motorsport to be classed as a great? Or is Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, if they retired now, for example, and they left F1, no other motorsport, would they be classed as a great? Let me know. Comment down below. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, that. I want to discuss something else as well. I posted something on TikTok this week about Sergio Perez.
Did we get hate for it?
I wouldn't necessarily we got hate, just some random comments. So the post was about, obviously, 2 races ago, he was classed as a title contender. 2 races later, he's now fighting for whether he's actually good enough to be in that Red Bull seat. People coming back going, well, he was never a title contender. You know, that's just silly. He was never a title contender. What I want to know is what makes a title contender? Because Sergio Perez started this season in the best car, the best team, the fastest car. What do you have to...
The best car is the fastest.
No, I know. Okay. What classes you as a title contender? Because a lot of people come back, well, Bottas was never a title contender. Well, at the start of the season, he was because he was in the best car.
He's in the... I think if you're in the position to be able to win a championship, which in that car you are... Granted, I know he's going up against Max Verstappen, who's obviously like a superior driver. That's just that, but... He's got all the tools he needs to be able to do it. The only reason he can't is because of himself.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily like a nasty thing to say. When you're going up against Max Verstappen, it's very difficult. Much like Bottas had with Lewis or Barrichello had with Michael Schumacher. Like,
but every one of those at the beginning of the season, or even a few races in, were title contenders because they were in the best
car. And Perez still won races this season. Let's not forget that he's won 2 races. Mm.
And I know some people go, well, if at the beginning of the season, everyone's a title contender. I get your point. Williams aren't. But if you, like you say, Perez has won a couple of races this year. He's picked up some good points. And up until 2 races ago, he was only, what, something like 10 points behind in the title standards?
If he had finished second in the last 2 races, like he should have in that car, the title race would still be on for him.
So I kind of get where they're coming from, because they're saying obviously Bottas was never a title contender, but if you are in the fastest car and you're in the best with the best team, I'm a bit confused of what makes a title contender. I don't know. Comment down below, let me know, because
they sound like Arsenal fans. You know how Arsenal fans, like, once they bottled it, like truly bottled it, they were like, oh, we're up against City.
We were never title contenders, yeah. No, I don't know. I think Perez, he's in the best car, as far as I'm concerned. He won 2 races up until,
and came second in the other 2.
Yeah. Up until the last 2 races, Monaco and Spain, he was there. He was fighting for the title. So, it's a bit confusing. So I'm just a bit confused what makes a title contender. Do let me know. Canada.
Yeah. So that is where we are heading to next week. Or obviously it will be this week. We're currently recording on Sunday. So this is Wednesday. So hope you're having a good week. But Free practice one. When does it start on Friday?
I can tell you. So free practice one is at 6:30 till 7:30.
UK time, of course.
FP2 is 10 to 11.
Ooh, a late one. I like that.
FP3, 5:30 till 6:30 on the Saturday, sorry.
In the evening.
Qualifying is 9 till 10 in the evening.
Okay.
And the race on Sunday is 7 o'clock.
Nice.
I tell you what, I'm hating. I apologise. You guys have to listen to me with my voice. I can't change it. I can't do anything.
Whether you sound like that or not, you should apologise to them for having to listen to
me. Sorry that you have to listen to me. Yes. I quite like that. 7 o'clock race. We're still deciding, can we say, whether we're going to do a live stream?
Oh, yeah.
Because we did discuss this last week. We were potentially going to do a live stream. So let us know if you would like that. Obviously, the last one we did was Australia, which we thought was going to be rubbish.
But it was good.
It was actually a good race, apart from the end. The end was rubbish.
Yeah, they fucked it a little bit. Yeah.
So let us know. Would you like us to do a live stream? But that would be 7 o'clock next week. Quite a nice time. You can do your stuff in the day. I quite like the evening races because you can kind of have a Sunday. You can go off, especially with the nice weather. You can go off, you can see people, do what you need to do. And then you can settle down for the evening.
It's not just slap bang in the middle of the day, so you have to plan your day around the F1. Now it's just like you'll go ahead with your day, and then realistically, 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening, you'll probably be in anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, like last week, for example, in Spain, it was kind of like, was it 2 o'clock? You have to get your stuff done. You have to stop for a bit in the day and then come back to it.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, nice time. Fancy a bit of a quiz?
Yeah.
Let's see how good your knowledge is. Funny enough, I like Canada. On the game,
I hate racing this track. I think like the races are pretty good. Like I like them. I hate like driving it myself.
Yeah. Somebody DM'd me the other day saying I never knew about that Marshall video in Canada. I think it was like when Jenson Button won it. He said I've literally watched it all week on repeat. He said I can't stop laughing. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. It is brilliant. So when was the first Grand Prix held at Canada?
Hmm. 1983.
1978.
Oh, close.
Number of laps.
Oh.
I was quite surprised by this, actually. It was more than I thought.
70.
It is, yeah. For some reason, I thought it was in the 50s. I don't know why.
No, it's quite a short track.
It's a short track, yeah. Lap record. And held by who?
Oh.
I can give you a clue. He was a title contender.
It's held by Perez.
No.
Oh, Bottas.
Although
I reckon a 170 laps, a 120, a 122.6.
Way off. 113.078.
Christ.
Yeah, it's a very short track. DRS zones.
Oh, that's got to be two.
It is two. So you've got it going into from 7 to 8, and then you've got it again from...
Like the big straight.
The big straight, which is 11 down to... Oh, no, actually, it must be three, because you've got one from 7 to 8, you've got... One from 11 to 13, and then you got it down to pit straight again.
No, it's still only two zones,
but
it would shut when you
go into 13 to 14 and then open again when you go down. So yeah, that makes sense.
Which I actually kind of don't like that.
What, you'd prefer that it closes going down the pit straight?
Well, because it means that like it's really easy to get an overtake done down that big straight before you head into the pit straight.
Yeah.
And then you come around the corner and you've got DRS again just to pull away. Like, I think like they should have the detection zone. I know it's probably like they should have it somewhere down that pit straight.
Yeah.
And not somewhere down the pit straight, like the long straight before the pit straight. So then if you've overtaken them down there, now they're going to come back at you with DRS down the pit straight.
Yeah, true.
I just think it makes the racing a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Do you remember the top three last year?
Yes.
This was the race where Mick Schumacher was on for points because he hadn't got any points up until this point.
His car just broke.
It just broke. Yeah. Really disappointed.
I actually do. I do. Yeah. Because there was a safety car very late on.
Yes.
And I think it was Max Verstappen, Carlos Sainz and Lewis Hamilton.
It was. Well done.
And then George Russell was P4.
Yeah. P5.
Leclerc.
P6. This is incredible.
Who did he over... Whoever took, was it one of the Alpines? Alonso?
No.
Was it Ocon?
It was Ocon.
Wait, I knew it was one of the Alpines.
You were doing good then, yeah. Okay, tell me after the Alpines, who was it? And up until this point, this team were actually collecting quite a good amount of points.
I think it was the Alfa Romeos, wasn't it?
Have you watched the highlights or is this actually just pure knowledge?
No, I haven't.
This is epic. Yeah, it was. Bottas followed by Joel.
Because it was actually quite a good race. You had we had three cars just randomly break down. And do you remember it was when Tsunoda had that thing with the pits?
Yeah, and he went straight out. He came straight out and off the pits and went straight into the wall. Yeah, it's like just turn your car. No,
it's going to go straight in. Straight.
Yeah, no, because Perez he retired. Do you remember that shot of him walking by the embankment? Well, not the embankment, but the bank. When he was walking back, after he retired, he was just walking back to the pit lanes.
Right.
There's a good shot of him. So Perez retired, Schumacher and Tsunoda retired.
Yeah.
Obviously, this was a Latifi. It was his home race.
Yep.
Yeah, he still finished P16.
Which was last.
And this was the day where it was an awful race for the McLarens
Actually, was that last P16?
It wasn't P16, no. It was P17, which was Magnussen.
Oh.
But Magnussen, I think he had like a punch at the end and he had to pit anyway. He had a late pit.
Well, K-Mag doesn't have a great relationship with Canada.
No.
I mean, if you think back to 2019, when he had a bit of a cry over the radio about the car, how it's the worst car he's ever driven in his life, and Gunt had to come over the radio.
Stop this now.
Like enough now.
but yeah, it finished off with Bottas in 7th, Joel in 8th, Alonso in 9th, and Stroll in P10.
Well, in fairness, I thought Alonso was further up. I thought it was... I thought Alonso finished behind Ocon, and the Alfa Romeo boys were like 9 and 10.
Let's see how good your knowledge actually is. Who was the top 3 in qualifying? Because it was a shock.
Yeah, because it was a wet quali.
But somebody who we didn't expect to be on the podium at the time was on the podium, finished in the top 3. Who wouldn't have expected to? But this year, it's just common now.
Oh, yeah, Alonso.
Yeah.
He was P2, wasn't he?
He was finished P2, yeah. Yeah. So it's Max P1, Alonso P2, Sainz P3.
Lewis was P4, wasn't he?
Lewis was P4. And this is how mad it was. The Hasses were P5 and P6.
That is mad that then K-Mac finishes last.
It was a bit of an exciting one. But what's your expectations for this weekend? Obviously, we saw Mercedes have a very solid race in Barcelona last week. We're expecting big things as Mercedes fans.
Well,
I'm still expecting a Red Bull dominance. Yeah. I don't think that's going to change. But what I'm expecting, and I'm hoping we start to see a bit of closer racing up front.
Well, they said they're not expecting to be as quick at Canada as they were at Barcelona. But they were quick at Canada last year.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear what Alonso said?
That they're going to be back this weekend and they're going to be back even stronger?
Yeah.
Something similar along those lines.
Because they were like, this is your first race without a podium. And he was like, it's the last race without a podium. So
I can't wait for the memes if he like retires on like lap 2. He's like...
Because his words were that we're going to crush
the
other teams. So...
You can't crush the other teams if you've got Lance Stroll as your teammate.
Yeah, that's true. Alonso might crush the other teams, but I feel like Stroll is still holding that team back. Which, interestingly, you spoke about a little rumour that's been circulating.
I'm just double checking that I am actually right, and it was actually a rumor. So yeah, I saw a couple of tweets and a couple of news articles about Charles Leclerc apparently to Aston Martin. I can't see that happening. But what's your thoughts on it?
I mean, that would be great for the team, wouldn't it? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, realistically, it's Stroll who's getting the chop. Whether this would ever happen or not, I'm still not convinced, because I don't believe that Stroll would ever lose that seat, all the while his dad owns the team. But that's some pairing, Leclerc, Alonso, driving that Aston Martin. That would give the Mercedes a real hard time.
Yeah.
And if it was eventually capable of matching that Red Bull, it would give them a hard time as well.
Yeah.
Because I would argue that Alonso and Leclerc is a better pairing than Max and Perez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, Max faster than all of them. But I would rather Alonso or Leclerc driving for my team than Sergio Perez.
I think you would get more out of them, yeah. No, I agree with you on that one.
So, if that is something that is achievable, because Leclerc must be getting to the end of his tether with that team. Oh my God, like, you know, he came into the team and it wasn't great, that Ferrari. I know he had the season where they cheated. You know, they had the illegal car, basically, where it was quick. Then the 2020 season, and the car was just not good.
Yeah.
Then you had the 2021 season where the car was really not good. And Leclerc actually lost to Sainz on points that season.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And then 2022, the car's amazing. It's perfect. But it breaks randomly, sets on fire.
Leclerc crashes into walls.
Yeah, Leclerc crashes.
Sainz decides to go off into the gravel in
Or they decide Australia. To have a really rubbish strategy that makes no sense. And then 2023, the car takes a huge backwards step. Whereas at this point, it's looking like Alpine are closing the gap on them. Like, I mean, in my opinion, they're well off the Mercedes and Aston Martin at the moment.
Yeah, and it's actually sad to see. It's really sad to see the fall of Ferrari, especially as there was so much, there was a lot of positives last year and a lot of negatives, but I think the positive towards the end of the season was Leclerc finished P2, Ferrari finished P2 in the constructors, heading into 2023, and you're thinking, okay, they can build on this. You know, Fred Vasseur has come in, Binotto's left. Are they going to be in a position to challenge the Red Bull? At this moment in time, like you say, they're fighting the likes of Alpine, and, you know, it's worrying for them, because how they performed in Spain was, they were poor. They need to really bounce back this weekend. Otherwise they're going to lose. They're going
to
struggle.
Yeah. I mean, I am interested to see how they do. I mean, they'll definitely be a team that I keep a close eye on this weekend, because I just can't wrap my head around it. I just can't work out how they've made the car so much worse.
Yeah.
Like, they could have literally just brought last year's car and not changed anything, and they'd probably be in a better position.
It's a very difficult team. As we discussed last week, there's a lot of people who have left, a lot of people who are, they're not improving. They're not improving, they're going backwards. Just touching on Charles Leclerc, have you seen that Ryanair tweet?
Oh, yeah.
Ryanair, you have had a great week. So Piers Morgan interviewed a OnlyFans model, and they asked the question, what were your future kids think of your profession? And the response was, well, they can cry in my Ferrari or something. They can cry in their Ferrari. And Ryan Hare tweeted, a bit like Charles Leclerc.
Yes, very accurate.
And brutal. I had a look through some of Ryan Hare's tweets. They're class. I didn't actually realise they're that good.
Yeah, no, they actually have a really good Twitter page.
Yeah.
And like, people complain, they're just like, this is so unprofessional. Like, because they'll reply to people complaining and like, they'll be like, this isn't like a customer service account. This is just our account. Like, if you want actual help, tweet the customer service. Like, because people complain about, like, oh, I booked a window seat and I didn't get a window. And they're essentially just like, we don't care.
It's a bit of a goat page, to be honest. Top three for this weekend. What's your top three for the Canadian Grand Prix? Obviously, you're quite accurate for Barcelona, to be fair to you. I feel like we should start doing a scoreboard. How many you get. But yeah, what is your top three?
Max has got to win it. And the reason why like I hesitate is because I think like, surely his car's got to break down at some point. Surely he's got to make a mistake. Surely he's going to have a blowout. You know, surely they're going to fuck up his pit stop and he's going to have like a 30-second pit stop. But then I just think it's just not going to happen, is it? And he's going to win the race. Perez needs to come back strong here. Monaco. It's not actually a street track, is it?
No.
But it's got like the characteristics of a street track.
Yeah.
So Perez, I think it's hard because do I want to give Perez P2?
I think Perez is very. The difficulty is the thing that screws him at the moment is qualifying. The last two qualifying sessions have been so poor that actually he would be P2 in my predictions. But the issue is it all is very dependent on how he does in qualifying.
Do we trust him?
That's the thing. And he's under a lot of pressure at the moment, under a lot of pressure. Horner has come out and said this week that, you know, now the title pressure is off, Perez can hopefully start having a bit of confidence back, which is mad. As a team principal, why are you coming out and saying the title pressure is off now? So basically like, going, okay, you know, Max
is... He's not that, like, okay, the title challenge is dead because of who he's up against. But if that was Charles Leclerc in P1 or Fernando Alonso and Checo was second with that amount of points, he'd be like, no, it's still well on, like, we can get them, you know. Well, that it's two races.
Is that 57 points, isn't it?
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. That I personally wouldn't be too happy if I was Perez.
No. Bit of a weird thing to come out and say as your boss, isn't it? Perez, it's over. Don't worry. Just go and enjoy yourself. Go out there, pick up the points.
Because he just wants to bring him home for the team. He knows he only wants Max to win it, and fair enough. That's...
And can I just say, Perez is also under pressure in a sense of when you look at that car last year, what Max Verstappen had and Perez had, Charles Leclerc still got P2.
Yeah.
Perez didn't even get the 1-2 last year.
No, it was... the way he's going, he's at risk this season.
And don't get me wrong, Ferrari was better last year. I get that. But Perez couldn't even clinch P2 in that car last year.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I genuinely believe his seat might be up for grabs at the end of this season.
Who? Oh, what's going on here? What have I done? Oh, no. I'm not very computer literate.
Like, I think they'll start to look at it and be like, right, if he doesn't finish P2 in that Constructors' Championship, then I do think they might start to look at it and think, is there someone actually that we can bring in?
Yeah.
That will make this team better? Because a lot of people always talk about, like, oh, you know, Red Bull just like him there because he's, like, a yes man or whatever, and he's like a good number two. But like, I don't think Red Bull have ever really been afraid to have two competitive drivers, you know. Yeah. But okay, they brought in Kvyat. I know it didn't work out, but like, they obviously, he wasn't just there to be like a Perez or like, you know, this older driver that, yeah, you know, we know he'll rank up the points. And then they brought in Albon, young driver. Obviously, they're anticipating these guys to become really good.
You've got to remember, they had Danny Ric, who they were thinking that's their main driver. Then they put in Max Verstappen alongside. So they weren't afraid to bring in extra drivers.
And that's what I mean. Like, they had Seb and they brought in Danny Ric, like, for both of them. So now, you know, you've got their, like, world beater driver, but they've brought in this new talent as well.
Yeah.
And then, okay, Seb leaves and you've got Danny Ric and Max. I know they had Fiat, and then he takes Max's seat. Max takes his seat. And then Danny Ric leaves. Oh, then you've got Gasly coming in, who they thought, like, okay, you know, he could be a world beater. Doesn't work out. Then obviously you get Albon come in, another young driver who they've got big plans for. Just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
My point is Red Bull are clearly not afraid to have two, what they consider at the time, talented drivers. Like, because that is the way it works. There's no saying that Max Verstappen turns up next season and he's the driver that he was this season.
No.
You know, we see this in across all sports where, like, out of nowhere, an athlete will just have a drop-off.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that will happen anytime soon to Max Verstappen, but it absolutely could, which is why they need another driver in that seat.
But you look at Lewis. They get an awful car. In everyone else's eyes, he's dropped off. Do you see what I mean? After 2021,
yeah.
I appreciate what you're saying about own performance, own, you know, but Max Verstappen, this Red Bull next year, they could come next year and it could be woeful.
Well, yeah.
You don't know, do you? So as a team, they need to be having competitive drivers in there. And at this moment, yeah, Perez, okay, he's been a great number two.
But where does he take the team? I think that's what Red Bull will start to look at. Like, is Perez sustainable for the long term future of Red Bull? And I just don't think.
I'd say no.
And I think Red Bull think that way.
Yeah.
I think it has worked out, but it's not like it can't be like a long term thing.
No. But the issue with Perez at the moment, he's shown glimmers of class. Look what he did, you know, in Abu Dhabi. He fought against Lewis. He's showed glimmers of, you know, pure desire, pure like hunger, really battling well. And then all of a sudden, the next week, he's like...
He's touch inconsistent.
He's like Nicholas Latifi in disguise.
Yeah, sometimes he is.
Quickly, just before we finish the podcast, there's a lot of discussion about who we were expecting to see on the grid in 2023. Mick Schumacher, 2024, sorry, that's what I meant. Do you see the likes of Mick Schumacher coming back into sport next year?
No.
No?
It just doesn't really make sense to me. He had an opportunity. But granted, the first year wasn't great. But yeah, I don't see what team is going to look at him and think, yeah, we'll have that. Personally.
What about Danny Ric? Can you see him back in F1 in 2024?
Well, I was having a conversation last night. Danny Ric to replace Nyck de Vries? I know who I'd rather.
Yeah, potentially.
Like,
But does that make that team stronger?
Yeah, I would argue. But who's out of contract?
Bear with me.
Because I'm just trying to go through the teams. Like, think. Mercedes is not going to change. Aston Martin is not going to change. Alpine is not going to change. McLaren won't change unless one of the big teams do change and then Lando gets a sniff in.
Yeah.
Williams. Will Logan Sargeant lose that seat? Because it's looking entirely possible right now.
He hasn't performed as well as what we're hoping.
Nyck de Vries, I do think if he carries on this way, will lose his seat.
Yeah. Do you want me to go through
the
contracts?
Will Bottas retire?
He's had a shocking season.
Really?
In that Alfa Romeo, he's had a shocking season. Shall I go through the contracts?
Yeah.
So Max Verstappen has his contract until 2028.
Yeah.
Perez is to the end of 2024.
Yeah, so I do suspect that Red Bull will just run his contract out.
Yeah. I could see it.
But I do think that also there is potential that he does go.
Ferrari's an interesting one because Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz have their contracts until the end of 2024. Obviously, I can see them trying to renew contract with Charles Leclerc. I can't see them trying to renew a contract with Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
No, my personal opinion.
I agree. But again, I still think they'll let their contract run.
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton, this is his last year on his contract.
Yeah, still hasn't signed.
Still hasn't signed, but I think from what we're hearing and from what we're seeing with the developments, he's confident the team are going in the right way, so I think he will sign one. George Russell just says multi-year deal. It doesn't say when it is. Ocon has got a contract until the end of 2024, and Pierre Gasly, again, a multi-year. It doesn't say. It says, but it's understood to run through until 2024. Norris is until the end of 2025 for McLaren. Piastri is it to the end of 2024. Alfa Romeo. So Valtteri Bottas, it says multi-year, but again, we don't know how that, when it is. This is Joel in his last year of his contract. Would you renew Joel's contract? I don't know. I think it's very hard to really dissect how well he's done, because this Alfa Romeo was very strong in the early parts of 2022. The second part of 2022 really struggled. Coming into the 2023 season, he hasn't really performed. But again,
well, the car.
The car. That's what I mean.
At this point in time, if I'm in charge at Alfa Romeo and you're saying you can either keep Bottas or Zhou, I'm taking Zhou.
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. I think he's out. But what I mean by that is, do you bring in another driver?
What, and then do you want a completely clean slate? I don't know. I would personally be, 'cause Bottas is not going to be on a small wage.
No.
At that team. You know, he won't be on his Mercedes money, but he'll be taking home a lot more than Zhou.
Isn't it a shame to see, though? You know, he had so much success with Mercedes. He went to Alfa Romeo to be the number one driver, to really push that team forward, and it just hasn't happened. You know, that Alfa Romeo team,
he hasn't got that dog inside him.
No, but that Alfa Romeo team has gone backwards. They haven't progressed. You know, they've really struggled this year, and it is disappointing to see.
Yeah, I was expecting big things from Bottas, honestly.
I like this. So Aston Martin's contracts, okay? Fernando Alonso is expected to run to the end of 2024. It's a multi-year deal. I think they'll probably extend that.
I was under the impression it was until 2026, to be fair.
On the F1 website I've got here, it says a multi-year deal set to run until at least the end of 2024. So it might possibly be.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll. I like this. It says unknown. So basically, he just has a multi-year deal up until when his dad decides to get rid of him.
He's got an unlimited contract. Yeah.
So if you're Lance Stroll, don't worry about contracts. It's when your dad tells you you've got to leave. Haas. So it looks like this is K-Mac's last season. Well, up until the end of this season, his contract. I don't know if they'll continue to keep him. What's your thoughts on K-Mac? I mean,
not been performing this season, I don't think.
I was expecting him to outperform Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
But actually, Hülkenberg has come in and he hasn't done bad.
He's put in some solid performances. I think they would be looking. Again, Haas is a team that I think really need to change the way they operate, which they kind of did when they brought Mazepin and Schumacher in.
Yeah.
But they had a fucking terrible car. And now they sort of reverted back to how they've been previously, with just these two, like, experienced drivers that, like, I can't see a future for the team with these sort of drivers there.
No.
And that's no disrespect to the drivers, because I think they're two very solid drivers, but I'm thinking, right, okay, how are Haas going to level up as a team?
But we said this last year, didn't we, when they brought in Hülkenberg. That's okay, having one experienced driver, but you've got to have a driver there, which is you're building for the future.
Yeah.
You look at, for example, McLaren, they got Lando Norris, who's been there a while. He's still very young, but he's more experienced.
He's experienced.
They brought in Piastri, someone with, you know, building for the future. You look at Williams, they've got Alex Albon, who's now starting to, you know, he's a first team driver. They brought in Sargeant, they're building for the future. With Haas, it's kind of like they're never going to really progress because they're always just having older drivers come in. You're never really building for the future with them. They're not your, I suppose it's like, you know, NFL, they're not your franchise. That's not what you're building for the future.
I think they could do with getting like a good young driver in to that. I mean, you'd say K-Mag seat now.
Yeah.
Keep Holcon. I would say, I'm not sure when his contract is up, but I think he's had a pretty solid season.
Well, I think, yeah, his contract is up until the end of this season.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why I thought they would have kept Mick, because he was still very young. I thought he probably deserved another season just to try and prove himself.
I will say this. I do think they're in a better place than had they had Mick in that seat this season.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I get your point.
That's what I think. I think fair. Hulk is performing better than Mick would have.
Yeah, but if you had Mick with Hulk instead of K-Mag, K-Mag performed last year.
There was no reason to get rid of K-Mag last year.
No.
Because he did perform.
So looking at driver standings quickly.
We do also need to finish the top three.
So Hulkenberg has got 6 points. K-Mag has got 2.
Yeah, which?
Which, they're not that, a massive amount of points.
But that is a big difference when you're a team that is struggling to get in the points. Do you know what I mean? That could be like the difference of like 4 races of someone getting the points and someone finishing out of the points.
I know we were quite harsh on Bottas, but actually him and Shaw are both on 4 points.
Yeah, my point is I just think Bottas should be
performing better.
Yeah. Like, he's got all the experience and, you know, he was good in the Williams before he went to Mercedes. So like, he's got experience in a not as quick car.
Yeah.
He then has got years of experience in one of the best cars of a Formula One era. And I just think, yeah, he's kind of just not delivering to where you'd expect him to be.
Yeah, I agree. Just finishing off on the contract. So Alfa Romeo, Tsunoda's got his contract until the end of this season. Tsunoda's got his contract till the end of this season.
I'd like to see that extended.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've got to. He's shown. I mean, he's disappointed because three quarters of each race he does well, and then the last quarter
you see how much it means to him as well, which I think goes a long way.
Nyck de Vries is on a multi-year deal.
Is he?
Yeah, apparently so. But it's understood to be a multi-year running until the end of 2023. I don't know what the.
Oh, maybe it's like a 1 year with like the option to extend. Yeah.
Williams, Albon is on a multi-year deal. They think it's up until the end of 2024. I'd like to see him actually go to a different team because I think
he deserves a seat at a better team now.
Logan Sargeant, though, is only on a 1 year deal.
That doesn't surprise me. It's quite normal for rookies.
Do you think Logan Sargeant's contract should be extended? Do you think he deserves the opportunity for another season? Me personally, I think it's very hard for a rookie to really develop in one season. I think you can really tell about a driver in year two. And you saw that with Mick in the past.
It's also very hard to judge when their car is the worst car on the grid.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I would like to see him given another year just to see how he does. Maybe I can do some more soft training at Monaco.
What, the tyres?
Yeah.
Well, let's see how he performs, like, you know, up until at least the mid-season.
Yeah.
And then he really will be up against it, I think.
No, I agree.
But top three for Canada, go now.
Did you do yours?
No, I didn't finish.
Oh, okay. Should we do this again? What's your top three for the Canadian Grand Prix?
I am going to say Max, Lewis, Perez.
Ooh, okay. I can't believe we missed that. How did we go off on topic?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is what we do. Okay, my top three are Max, Perez, Lewis.
Oof. See, what about Alonso? Because I'm thinking he seems really confident about these upgrades.
All right, okay. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to change my top three. So my top three is going to be Max, Alonso, Lewis.
Ooh.
And the reason why I say this, I think Perez will muck up in qualifying. I'll screw his race. I think we're going to have a mixture weather-wise. I think we might have a little sprinkle of rain that might cause a bit of difference.
And we should get a safety car.
Yeah. I think Alonso, especially from his performance in Spain, will come back stronger this weekend. And I think Mercedes will continue just developing. So, yeah, oh, I'm going to get roasted for this, aren't I?
Oh,
Max,
same.
Alonso, Lewis, that's my top three.
Mercedes are back.
Just finishing off, did you know Adrian Newey has admitted that there was a couple of occasions early in his F1 career where he came close to joining Ferrari. He said joining the Italian manufacturer was very tempting. Can you imagine that?
Did you also see? I'm not sure how true this is, but like apparently Christian Horner was offered Binotto's job.
He was. That's what I've read. Yeah,
and apparently Helmut Marko had to talk him out of it.
Really?
Apparently it cost them a lot of money.
What, to keep him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Can you imagine, though, Adrian Newey at Ferrari? What that Ferrari would be like now?
Well, it would probably be competitive.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Get him to Mercedes. I don't understand why... Throw the kitchen sink at it. How much money do you want? Write it down on this piece of paper. It's yours. Now come and fucking sort our car out.
You come and sabotage it. It's like the ninth best team.
Oh no, it's gone backwards.
So he's getting paid by Mercedes a shitload of money to actually make it better. Red Bull is still paying him even more money to make it worse. And then Mercedes are like, P9. What the hell's going on here?
That's a good little money-making tactic for him.
Exactly. Do any fan questions? I did put something out quite late this morning. So every week we ask you guys for fan questions. So send them in. We post it on Instagram. So go and check us out on Insta. I do apologize because, one, I'm really hot here.
Yeah, it's really hot.
And I'm sorry that you've had to listen to my croaky voice again.
Someone said, are you both having a good day?
Yeah. It's all right.
How is it?
Well, is that one of the questions?
Yeah.
Oh, nice guy.
From Who's Nathan.
It? Oh, thanks, Nathan. Yeah, it's good. Apart from hay fever. Have we mentioned that we have hay fever?
I think so. Maybe. No, actually, I don't think we have.
Oh, yeah, if you don't know, we have hay fever. Yeah, day's good.
Do you think the Aston Martin upgrades will make them compete against the Red Bull?
I don't think they will compete against the Red Bull. But I think we'll have a much closer battle between Aston Martin and Mercedes for the remainder of the season.
I'm not entirely sure it's even possible to close this gap to the Red Bull.
No.
Because...
this car's a joke.
They are still developing the car. You know, at the same rate that other people are. I just don't see how this gap gets closed.
This is why it made me laugh last year when Red Bull got their penalties. You know, they got their wind tunnel deduction, whatever, for 2023. That car, at this moment in time... is so advanced compared to any other car on that grid that them losing this wind tunnel time won't make a single bit of difference because they're already so far ahead.
Because just speaking of, like, kind of touching on that subject, did you see Horner is now, like, he warned Mercedes about not breaching the cost cap or something?
Yeah, I saw something. Who cares? They can't say anything.
Irony as well.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
When did we find out last year? What race was it?
I can't remember.
I still think it was a bit of a cheap penalty.
It was a wishy-washy penalty. It's made no difference whatsoever.
No. And I don't care what anyone says. That Red Bull is so advanced, and that showed, you know, being 25 seconds ahead in Barcelona. That car is such a joke. And that could have gone faster. Okay, let's just say this. Max was conserving, trying to, you know, not breach track limits. That car, if he wanted to, could go faster and faster. So this whole wind tunnel, you know, deduction is not going to... it may make the odd difference here and there, and some cars might breach the gaps very slightly, but it's not going to make a difference to this Red Bull, this season. They will walk away with it. As I said last week, they will probably win every race.
Unless they have a double DNF.
Unless they have a double DNF. That's the only way that you're stopping that Red Bull. No other team is going to get closer this season.
Agree.
Facts.
Last one, because it's very hot. Will Carlos Sainz finish ahead of Charles Leclerc this season?
Do you know what? I actually think he will.
At this rate, I think he might do.
I think we're going to have a very similar season to what we had in 2021. They'll both pick up random points. They'll both each have a race where they're pretty poor. You know, Charles Leclerc in Spain was poor. Carlos Sainz will have his off day. He won't pick up points. But Carlos Sainz, he will pick up like this. If Leclerc's having a shocker.
The thing is Charles Leclerc is cursed. So like, it doesn't matter if he's quicker than Sainz. Something will happen to him. Just
a wheel will fall off.
Like out of nowhere. So that's why at this point in time, I would suggest that Sainz will finish ahead of Leclerc.
Yeah.
If you're asking me who I'd rather driving in the Mercedes, the team that I support, Charles Leclerc all day long. But he's cursed. He needs to see a priest because he's got some demons.
I just think it's a... Neither of them at this moment in time have a clean weekend.
Empty?
Dan, if you could add that little shot in of Luke literally just pretending to drink and realising he had nothing. Neither of them have a clean weekend. Both of them at one time have a clean weekend. Something happens with one of them, or you look at Carlos Sainz last week, he's like, oh yeah, no, I'm absolutely fine, I've got no worries. And then Lewis Hamilton is on his ass. You know, neither of them just have a clean weekend.
Why is he on his ass?
Well, not on his ass, but well, he's on his ass because he's actually catching him. You know what I mean? Why are you making this awkward?
Just randomly on his arm.
I was about to say he's on his rear, but that makes it even worse. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say off that. He's got flustered. Yeah, he's on his arse. I just think that neither of them just have... The team on a whole just don't have a strong weekend.
Yeah, they've... like I say, I feel bad for them, but... At the end of the day, it is what it is, and my money would still be on Sainz purely because I don't know what the universe has against Charles Leclerc, but he must have been a bad man in his past life.
I still stick with what I said last year. Last year was Charles Leclerc's best opportunity of winning a world title. This guy, he won't win a white world title. I honestly believe Charles Leclerc will never be a world champion, simply because 2022 was his best opportunity. Himself, along with Ferrari, screwed herself over in that opportunity to do that. I just think at this moment in time, teams moving forward, Aston Martin are getting stronger. Mercedes will come back. Red Bull will still be dominant. This Ferrari at this moment in time, Charles Leclerc is not strong enough to win a world title. I don't know. Let me know if I'm being a bit harsh here, but... I wanted him to win last year. I was really supportive and I was really pro Charles Leclerc. But along with himself and the team, they manufactured it to just ruin it for themselves. I've never seen a team be so self-destructive before.
It's bad.
It was. But I think that is it. That is going to be the end of the podcast because I am very hot.
It is roasting in here.
And my voice is starting to hurt as well.
And I'm out of water.
Yeah. But guys, hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Let us know. Comment down below. Do you want us to do a live stream on Sunday? And if you do, we will do a live stream. Why don't you put a little poll on Instagram to see what people say? If people say no, then we just won't do it.
We'll just watch it on our
own. But yeah, guys, thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, hit a like, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening to us on Spotify or any other audio platforms, then please leave us a rating. We really do appreciate it. And do check us out on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. And we'll be back next week following a post-race review of Canada, where Lewis Hamilton will be back to winning ways.
You heard it here first.
And we are here still with our tinted glasses. Bye-bye.